Welcome to the final installment of the trial of Lola Adams. On this episode, we are returning a verdict, and it was not easy. I believe this was the hardest verdict in the history of deliberations. Before we begin, I'm going to read the rules for deliberation. All jurors have been given these instructions. 1. You must follow the law as it is set out in these instructions. If you fail to follow the law, your verdict will be a miscarriage of justice. There is no reason for failing to follow the law in this case. All of us are depending upon you to make a wise and legal decision in this matter. 2. This case must be decided only upon the evidence that you have heard from the testimony of the witnesses and have seen in the form of exhibits and evidence, and these instructions. 3. This case must not be decided for or against anyone because you feel sorry for anyone or are angry at anyone. 4. Remember, the lawyers are not on trial. Your feelings about them should not influence your decision in this case. 5. Your duty is to determine if the defendant has been proven guilty or not, in accord with the law. It is the judge's job to determine a proper sentence if the defendant is found guilty. 6. Whatever verdict you render must be unanimous. That is, each juror must agree to the same verdict. 7. Your verdict should not be influenced by feelings of prejudice, bias, or sympathy. Your verdict must be based on the evidence and on the law contained in these instructions. And finally, everyone, I'm going to remind you of the Florida statute this all comes down to. The wording of this statute becomes so critical, it will be examined and argued piece by piece. The wording of this statute will be the deciding factor in Lola's guilt or innocence. Florida Statute 776.012, Use or Threatened Use of Force in Defense of a Person. Section 2. A person is justified in using or threatening to use deadly force if he or she reasonably believes that using or threatening to use such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself or another.
Whether or not she believed it, there's a subjective standard to it, and there's an objective standard to it. Did she subjectively believe it to be reasonable? Look, she believed it, but objectively, our duty here as a jury is to also observe that belief and determine whether or not it was reasonable. We don't just say.
No, I disagree.
No, believe me, that is what we are here to do.
Yeah. It's not for us to decide if it's a reasonable belief or not. It's whether
whether she believes she was in threat or not.
You guys, I'm telling you right now, that is exactly what we're here to do. Yes.
That's your opinion. That's what juries are hired for.
That's what we're hired to do. That's when you went through the entire process, they asked us that question. We are here to determine whether or not
she reasonably believed
through all of the evidence that we heard, we need to determine based upon all the facts and what the belief was, whether or not that was reasonable.
No, whether she reasonably believed it.
Should we just like see where we stand right now as a group?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's take a vote. Van.
I believe she's guilty.
Campbell.
I'm leaning towards guilty.
In her reality, she thought she was reasonably doing what was right.
Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Thanks.
Not guilty.
I'm personally not guilty.
I'm guilty.
We're split, guys.
We are split, but we won't be soon.
What makes you say that?
Because we eventually have to agree.
Yeah, of course.
By default.
But what makes you say, you sounded like you really jumped on that.
But I think we're haggling over the term reasonably believed.
We're not haggling anymore.
That's your opinion.
No, we're not haggling right now. I'm telling you, my charge is to tell you, we need to observe whether or not her belief was reasonable or unreasonable objectively. Subjectively, I'll give it to you. Subjectively, she thought her belief was reasonable, but we are here in this room right now to determine whether or not that belief was an actual reasonable belief. And we've all already said multiple times, that's crazy. The tapestry caused President Obama to get elected. The tapestry is what prevents tsunamis. That's crazy. That's unreasonable.
And those aren't her beliefs.
So could I put my answer into context? And
please.
Then maybe that's I believe that she's not guilty because of the framework in which her mindset had been indoctrinated and manipulated over a long period of time, in which I believe she resulted in deciding to shoot her husband because everything she'd been taught was now her belief system. So
she was under mind control.
Yes.
Yeah, I listen, if we were here to decide whether or not she was under mind control, my vote would be she was under mind control.
So then you're saying that every single religion on the planet is mind control?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm not going down that road.
Okay, so what are you saying?
We're not going to go down that road.
No.
It sounds like religion.
I'm not going down that road.
It sounds like you're not even helping us then. It sounds like you're just ignoring the situation of what's at hand, which is, in the religion that she was raised in, that she was actually bought into.
She wasn't raised into it. She went in there
6 years.
By her own free will.
Yes, right. 6 years.
6 years.
Are you listening?
Come on, just go.
Okay. So it sounds like you're not listening because you're trying to rush me.
I want us to get to a verdict.
Right.
We all want a verdict.
Stay on point is what he's trying to say.
Right. Campbell, what's your... What's the breaking point for you? Like, why are you torn right now? What
tipped you to guilty?
Like, what can we talk to you about that will help you kind of ease your mind and make a decision?
I have not been convinced through all of this and all the testimony that she believes it's necessary to prevent this world tsunami or some horrible disaster.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced of that.
Mm.
I hate saying that she's not guilty, because I disagree with that. But according to this statute, she actually reasonably believed it in her own reality, which makes her not guilty, and we have to go by her word as the eyewitness.
Right, but we need to objectively review whether or not that belief was reasonable.
No, we don't.
No,
we don't.
Right, so here's something I want to share. I did take a couple of law courses after I got out of the service.
Yeah.
And I didn't finish it. I didn't have finances to finish it. One of the things that we were always taught, whether it was agency and partnership, criminal law,
it was about the reasonable
man theory. Hold on. Okay. You can speak when I'm finished.
All right.
So the main thing that I was taught, and we heard it over and over again, no matter who was teaching the class, what would a reasonable person do in that situation? I'm saying, let's take this wording here. Let's look at it this way. A person is justified in using deadly force if a reasonable person believes.
That's not what it says.
That's not what it says.
Unfortunately, that's not what it says.
But
that would make it easy.
That would make it so much easier.
That would make it so much easier.
Yeah, we would not be sitting here right now,
Van. You are absolutely right.
But that's the universal reasonableness.
Exactly.
The universal of what would a reasonable person do, because the whole idea of having courts and law and everything is to bring order to the society, and it could only be done. It could only be done by reasonable people. So that's how they have juries.
As soon as this case is over, you are more than welcome to bring that up with the state. But right now, we're going with exactly what it says in front of us.
And the Florida statute may have been created by.
So this sounds like it's a subjective versus an objective.
Give them an excuse.
Yes. Alex, what are you thinking?
That's what the debate is right here, is whether it is subjective or objective.
So if we were, what's making you not, you know, what are we not hearing that you're telling us?
This is very simple, okay? I've been torn about. I've said this from the very, very beginning. I've been torn about this case, and sometimes if you've seen me become aggressive, if you've seen me try to bring order into something, is because this is an extremely difficult situation for me. And a lot of that is stemming from the fact that I recognize that this statute is not a model of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our language is not a model of clarity.
Again, the statute reads, a person is justified in using or threatening to use deadly force if he or she reasonably believes that using or threatening to use such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself or another.
If you read it subjectively, do I subjectively think in her mind, she reasonably believed she needed to save the world, I would say, yes, she reasonably, subjectively. But do I think that that belief was reasonable? I do not. Mm-hmm. And I don't want her going out. I don't want her out on the street.
But she's not a bad
Can
person.
Can I ask a question then?
Banks, what, her husband. What's your question, Banks?
If we're looking at it objectively and we don't agree with what she did because of how she was thinking.
Yes.
Why would she be punished for that rather than the people that gave her those beliefs?
She's the one that's on trial. And she took those beliefs in free. She
willingly.
Was there. She was there willingly, Banks.
Correct.
She at was the beginning, and then it becomes this less and less willingness to be there.
You always have always a choice a willing whether victim. You like it or not.
Thank you.
But you're, if it's like you saying you have a choice to leave MS-16.
MS-13?
Whatever it is.
I'm saying you have a choice, but you also have to accept the consequences.
That's right.
Yeah.
The way I have interpreted this, and it's been difficult, is me, Alex, is whether or not objectively this was a reasonable belief. And we all agree. Can I just get something really, really quick?
What's up?
Can we all agree that let's put on the objective hat really quick?
The objective hat.
The objective.
Not from our perspective, not her perspective.
Fine, yes. From us who I think we're all reasonable. You're a little bit on the edge, my friend, but you know, I'll give you reasonable today. Was it objectively a reasonable belief, Shane?
I don't know, I'm not in her position.
That's not what he asked. That's He's asking asked. From our perspective.
I said from
yes,
your perspective.
I think it was because I think she was manipulated by the group.
What? Okay, all right, okay.
Okay, fine, oh, Banks. Whatever. Do you think
I'm
her belief
I'm kind of confused about the object. Can you ask the question in full?
Sure. We are observing what she did. We're passing judgment. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing right now. Okay?
Right.
What I was trying to break down earlier before is if we're looking at the term reasonable strictly from the subjective point of view.
It's not her reasonable, it's reasonably believed.
No, hang on. Her subjective is her perspective.
Only from her perspective, solely from her. We're not passing judgment on whether or not that was reasonable. I agree. I think in that instance, she somehow believed in her mind that she was stopping world tragedy. But that's only if you're viewing it strictly from her from her point of view.
Yeah.
We are Correct. Here in this room right now. And my argument and my belief is we as a jury are supposed to objectively determine whether or not that belief was reasonable. Do you think her belief was reasonable? Do you believe in the tapestry? Is basically what this is coming down to.
I don't think you can put it to one question like that.
My problem is that looking at it objectively like that, it's like we're disregarding all of the evidence surrounding cults.
Exactly.
I agree.
That's where I'm struggling.
I'm not trying to disregard
all of the
it.
Testimony.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to disregard it.
And then in that case, then I would still put her not guilty because it doesn't feel fair to sit and listen to all of that evidence and then just disregard it. Do you see what I mean?
Sure. So you're still not guilty.
Because
Go ahead,
it's
Francis.
Not. There's still doubt.
Well,
there.
Subjectively, obviously, she did believe it. But objectively, from our perspective. No, of course not, because not everyone believes that the world is going to end, and so you have to go and kill Kyle. Like it's, but that's not what this is asking.
You're essentially laboring well,
that's
crazy.
That's what we're trying to figure out. So I'm asking you, Campbell. I mean, it's pretty clear to me that objectively, you don't think that that.
Oh, I don't think it's a reasonable belief for me.
But you think it makes sense for what she did.
But given all of the evidence and all of the testimony, I'm leaning towards believing that she believed it and that it was understandable that she believed this. But I'm not convinced that she believed it.
Okay. That's a fair point. That's my problem. And I go back to
you can't prove that.
I go back to the point of, you know, when she was giving the testimony about what was leading up to the shooting of her husband, and she never really, really got onto the tapestry. Van, I'd like to hear from you, please.
Okay. I was planning on going exactly to the moment of the killing act.
Mm.
She was annoyed, and her tone as she gave testimony was she was annoyed that Kyle was leaving. Kyle was very vague, and she said it in a condescending manner. She chose to scrutinize Kyle's testimony or Kyle's belief, rather, that that what he was doing in terms of leaving, she was scrutinizing that with a very clear logical reasoning about what he was doing. Yet she would not use that same reason in evaluating TCS. So TCS fed into what she wanted to have in her life. Now, at the moment that she shot him twice. A lover doesn't do that. She shot him in the back. A one you love doesn't do that. She waited 30 minutes for him to bleed out before she called 911. A person in love doesn't do that. They want to save the person they kill. Mm-hmm. All right? So these were premeditated. She had the gun. It was malice aforethought. She let him bleed out. To me, that is sinister, okay? Mm. And then she comes. Then she goes into shock. She realizes what she did, and that's why she was in shock. She killed him in cold blood.
What do you think about that, Banks?
You look contemplative.
I think you wiped the floor with Jeffrey Rhodes. But I just think that there's, for me, everything you say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but all those other pieces of evidence that, for me, just point to the influence of Ty Bynum, yeah. That's what's sinister to me. That's what's really
troubling. It's not about the one day, it's the 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it is about the one day. The one day was the crime that
we're
here. But
it was 6 years that led up to that day.
That she planned in some way for 5 days.
Yeah.
That she planned with the help of other contemplative members and then also got an email.
No help. Hold on one second, pal. She never told them about that.
No, but they all congregated to talk about what they were going to do to solve the problem.
None of them told her to kill him.
No, but then she indirectly got a letter from her boss saying, I indirectly need you to take care of this.
She turned that into her own concept of what she...
Well, unfortunately, the law says it's about her and not about us.
She said it's up to me.
So there's not much we can do about that.
She said it's up to me to save the world.
Well, and good thing the law asked about her.
That is her fantasy.
I think, unfortunately, we have to work with what we're given.
I think
the email from Ty pushed her over the edge.
I think so, too.
And gave her justification.
Absolutely.
Yep.
For doing
what she was already thinking of doing.
I don't know about that.
Premeditated.
You know what? That's kind of what that's kind of what I was thinking, too. And I said I wasn't quite sure if this really was indirect.
Well, let me ask you a question. What am I thinking right now?
I don't even want to. The things that are floating around my mind right now.
No one else. What am I thinking right now?
No one knows.
Well, I hope you're thinking about this case.
Probably daydreaming about a fire.
No, try it. Seriously, what am I thinking right
now? You want to go to the toilet.
I don't know. I'm hoping you're thinking guilty.
I'm hoping you're thinking not
guilty.
Let
me ask
you
a question again. What am I thinking right now?
No one knows, Boothang.
Exactly. No one has a fucking clue what she was thinking.
Hey, Francis, lighten up.
It's true, though. No one has a clue what she was thinking as she was pulling the trigger, as she was doing this. All you have is her word, and somebody is dead that you can't listen to. So think about it. If she reasonably believed it, at that time, we cannot prove whether or not she is telling the truth if she reasonably believes it. She says she does. She says she does.
She said she did.
Sure. However... you cannot be in the mind of somebody. Therefore, we are basing her getting off scot-free off of her word.
But if you're saying we can't prove it, then don't we have to give her not guilty because we're not proving it?
He's saying we can't prove what she was thinking.
Yeah, at that moment.
But we
can
prove what she did.
We can prove what she did.
And she's going to pay for what she did.
That is not what this is asking.
No, it's not.
That is not what this is asking right here.
Based upon her actions.
Yes, her actions.
I mean, the statute doesn't say did she kill her husband beyond reasonable belief.
Based upon her testimony and her actions, she planned the possibility of killing him. And in a moment of... anger that she described her frustration, she described her anger, she shot him in the back.
Twice. So you're saying that we have to judge her on what she did rather than why she did it.
That's what we're here to do.
And we understand it's very difficult. I mean, Francis and I, We both spent our lives saving lives.
As a firefighter, that is what you're supposed to do.
As
we were
a nurse.
Brought up and raised. Our religion is to save lives.
Save lives.
Oh, no, my screenplay saved a lot of lives.
I mean, I fought in Vietnam with the belief that I'm saving the U.S.
Exactly.
Now, it's very hard for me who have, you know, I spent my career saving lives to condemn somebody.
I mean, you fought in Vietnam thinking you're helping the U.S., and now we know that you weren't.
Yeah.
She fought in the TCS thinking that she was helping TCS, and now she knows she wasn't.
But I didn't shoot my sergeant.
No, but you shot a lot of people, I'm sure.
I shot and killed the enemy.
He was the enemy. That's your opinion.
No, it's not an opinion.
It is your opinion.
They were the enemy.
Well, we know today that they weren't the enemy. We know today that they weren't the enemy, and that we started that war.
In her mind, he was the enemy. He was leaving the tapestry.
She was the enemy to the whole group.
She had to kill him. She took it upon herself to kill him.
She did what the group needed.
He was going to destroy the tapestry. He became the enemy of the cult.
And she reasonably believed it, and she's not guilty. Boom. Yeah, you just answered it for yourself.
It all comes down to, she's guilty of murder. Okay, she is guilty.
I feel like
murder.
He literally
she
just said it out
that.
Loud.
We
that
don't
she's
have
not
to.
Guilty.
She is guilty of murder. The murder is not on trial, Van. It's whether or not she reasonably believed that using such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself. Clearly, it's not to himself or herself or another.
She was worried about everybody else.
My opinion still is we need to view that objectively. And I don't think that her belief was objectively reasonable. Do I think she was under mind control? Yes. Yeah. Do I think that she willingly joined a meditative cult because she was in a failed marriage and she no longer wanted to work on it and she got whisked away into this new thing and she chose to stay there for 6 years? Yes, I do.
But she was happy.
But
Alex,
sorry,
you
babe.
Say you believe that she was under mind control.
Yeah, I do.
And everything else. So then to argue that she's guilty, are you then not still don't understand how that is still taken into account all of the evidence that we've heard.
Right.
I'm taking in all of the evidence. I'm taking in everything.
You believe she's under mind control and then you...
But the mind control...
Was she not under mind control
Alex
for that 30 seconds
speak.
That she pulled the gun?
Well, I mean... No, wait. Hold on. Wait. Just because I think that she's under mind control, what I've been saying all along is what... Guys, I'll read it again. Just very, very simply. If he or she reasonably believes that such using force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself or another, I'm focused on the reasonably believe. I believe that we need to view that objectively. I believe I had taken it as in I'm in this room to be an observer, to pass judgment on whether or not her belief was reasonable.
Right.
So even though I believe that she was under mind control, even though I think that, you know, TCS was probably a cult, and do I hate cults, and do I think they were destructive? Of course, I hate ISIS, I hate white supremacists, I hate, you know, a lot of things that have belief systems that are unreasonable.
Align with yours?
That are destructive.
No, that are destructive.
Yeah, that are destructive. I don't think her belief in that she was preventing imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself, I don't believe that was a reasonable belief, number one. Number two, I'm telling you, the fact that she didn't really try towards the end, right before she shot Kyle, mm-hmm. and drive home the whole, I'm trying to save the tapestry, that really affected me. That really affected me. I don't even know if she even believed it.
I know. We have no proof that she believed that.
Right. The only proof we have is her word, and she claims she reasonably believed that using such force was necessary.
And obviously she's going to protect herself.
I believe that she enjoyed being in that cult, that she enjoyed being in the marriage. She didn't want her life disrupted. She was cared for. It was easy. She didn't have to think for herself. It's easy. It's very tempting to go to a church or a cult or anything that tells you what to think.
When I take the phrase reasonably believes, you can also say that saying she believed it with reason.
She did. She had her reason. She believed did. It with so much reason.
Absolutely she did.
Not with my reason.
That's but it's not about your reason.
It is about
No, it's not. That's not what this statute says at all, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
A juror.
I'm not convinced that she believed that.
I'm a juror.
Campbell, you don't know what you believe every 2 seconds.
I tend to agree
that it sounds like you're not being reasonable in her belief.
Her passion, her not wanting her life disrupted, and a moment of anger.
But what are you basing that on, though? Because then you'd be sentencing her to guilty without
off of everybody's fantasy.
Without basing it on this bit of evidence or that bit of evidence.
But I am.
Yeah, same here.
So you're using.
I'm basing it upon a lack of.
You're using your reality, your objective reality.
I am basing it on a lack of evidence.
Right.
Well, we have to come to a decision, no matter the case. A person is justified in using Lola. Was justified in using deadly force if Lola reasonably believes that using such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily
harm. That's literally what the law says.
You're right.
We don't have evidence to that.
And the reasonable part is what I'm stuck on. I don't think she was reasonable.
As is correct, when there is confusion about the interpretation of an instruction or the law, this jury made the determination to reach out to the judge for clarity. The following is the question written by the jury, given by Alex to the bailiff, and delivered to the judge. Quote, "Our question refers to the language, reasonably believes. Are we to apply a subjective or objective standard to this belief? Meaning, are we to determine whether the belief was reasonable to Lola or reasonable to society? Please also clarify the word imminent in this context." After submitting this question, deliberations continued but meaningfully stalled. The judge understood the amorphous nature of this statute and considered whether she was able to provide any clarification that would not convey a personal interpretation. However, her research discovered clarity by a lawmaker on this exact issue that informed her response to the jury. In 2018, Florida Sheriff Bob Galtieri of Pinellas County said the law created a largely subjective standard for how a person who felt threatened could use deadly force in self-defense. In response, Senator Dennis Baxley, who helped write this law, assured the standard was objective. Quote, "It's a reasonable person standard, and that means that any reasonable person could look at the fact pattern and concur that he was threatened."
Just got the response back from the bailiff. The judge's response. Here's what it says. "The danger facing the defendant need not have been actual. However, to justify the commission of the killing of her husband, the appearance of the danger must have been so real that a reasonably cautious and prudent person under the same circumstances would have believed that the danger could be avoided only by committing the killing of her husband." The response that we got to the clarification of imminent, is also included in what was just handed to me. Imminent and impending means the danger is about to take place and cannot be avoided by using other means. A threat of future harm is not sufficient to prove this defense.
Mm.
Before we start responding, I'd like to remind us to try to be respectful of when other people are talking and try to keep our emotions at bay. Because if you remember, at the very beginning of our deliberations, we received rules for deliberation, which includes that, you know, the lawyers are not on trial here. Your feelings about them should not influence your decision in this case. We must follow the law as it is set out in the jury instructions that we received. This case is not to be decided for or against anyone because you feel sorry for anyone or angry at anyone. So I'd like us to keep our emotions in check, because that's what we were told to do. And I'll give you guys a minute or two to kind of digest the judge's response. And, you know, I've said my piece. I want to digest them a little bit myself, but who'd ever like to start first? You know, I defer to you, but remember to keep it orderly.
Wow. Well, that's pretty, seems like that's pretty cut and dry. Even though I don't want to say that it is, but that sounds pretty cut and dry.
Cut and dry in which way, Francis?
Well, I mean, here we are, we're talking about subjective versus objective, and it's the whole idea of belief, and just seeing something like this with the judge who is in charge, I suppose. A threat of future harm, kind of what Lola was thinking, is not sufficient to prove the defense. And that's just cut and dry.
I don't know that it is, though. When he says under the same circumstances, does that mean the mind control? Because
right.
Then under those circumstances, I still understand how the events proceeded.
Thanks. This is my opinion, but TCS is not on trial. Ty is not on trial. The only person on trial is Lola. And she committed a crime. There was no, under the reasonable person doctrine, there was no imminent danger. She planned it. It was premeditated. She knew what the law was. She was an intelligent, educated person. And nothing in her life, nothing in her early life, nothing in her time with TCS indicated that she was a caring person who cared about the world. I am not convinced that she ever cared about anybody but Lola. She was often irrational. She was impulsive. And she planned this 5 days ahead of time. It was her justification is not reasonable. And you're looking at things from an emotional standpoint, which is not what we have to do. We have to follow the law.
I do hear that. I hear that, and because the other thing that is really troubling me is the requirement of imminent danger.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think, yeah, you know, like could that. She have left with him, or, you know, that she, in that moment to make the decision,
right.
When did she believe Kyle was officially leaving the tapestry? What was the moment that she considered, you know, catastrophic things were going to happen.
Right,
because when he turned around and started to walk out the door, and she shot him in the back because he was leaving her.
That was because catastrophic for her.
Yes, because she was losing what she wanted most in life. This is a selfish woman. This is somebody who was entitled all of her life, who carelessly and immediately turned her back on her whole family, who wanted from the first moment that she saw her husband, that's what she wanted in life. And she wanted an easy life within TCS and saw it walking out the door. And this is something that she planned.
Well, yeah,
she
but
planned it.
You were, I'm sorry, you were going to say something. I mean, thank you for...
I agreed with Campbell on the imminent danger. Which is very clear. The other thing in connection with what she said was how the judge mentioned how the is it reasonable to believe that the outcomes that these people told her would actually happen? It was brought up. Oh yeah, we.
What about the rapture? Most people believe that the rapture. A lot of people believe the rapture is going to happen.
But do they
that reasonable? No.
Yeah, but they kill people over it, you know?
That's what I'm saying. It's the exact same thing. I question that. Yeah. I question the authority of TCS. I question the authority of religion. That's what I'm all about. Well, I mean,
I'll take one step.
It's incumbent for everybody to question this, truly.
Francis has got a really good point, and I think this may help, you know, Shane Banks kind of put this over the edge. I know from the beginning, we all know that you've come at this very emotionally and very, you know, you're very sympathetic to Lola. And I'm not going to disagree that there is some sympathy related to her, but you do need to think about the precedent that this could set. And piggybacking on what Francis was saying is the fact that if, you know, this could be used by
millions of people,
by somebody who kills abortion doctors. I don't think that that's out of the realm to say, you know, well, I'm killing this because an abortion doctor being alive is an imminent threat upon babies being out in the world. I mean, that could happen. And you need to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Christians even saying, I believe that all Catholics or whatever, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, God told me to go and kill all Catholics in the world because
Or to kill all the gay people.
Kill people
of color.
Exactly. So, you know, we have to say that can't happen just because you think that your God or your TCS or whatever told you to go kill somebody to save the planet. That's not a reasonable thing.
And let's not forget the email that she received from Ty. There was nothing that was explicit that was a part of that. That she internalized.
But of course it wasn't, because that's his whole motive. He's subtle. He's clever. He's manipulative.
He's not on trial. Lola is.
That's
the worst thing for me. That's what I'm really just struggling with so much, is that I feel sympathetic for her so much because I know, for me, it's all because of him.
But that's not going to solve.
I know that you feel sympathetic, and we know that this ties to your sister and everything. You need to put those emotions in check.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so tough.
Yes, it is. How do you think she felt with the whole idea? I mean, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because imagine that was the whole thing of how do you think she felt when she thought that she was trying to save the planet and she had to go kill the person that she loved? Exactly. We don't know what she
was in her mind.
Right. So we don't know if she was planning it. That's what you were saying earlier.
And it could very well be that we don't know that because we are reasonable and she clearly was not.
And the judge has responded and said that we have to base this upon what a reasonably cautious and prudent person under these circumstances would have believed, not what she might have believed.
Right. Under the same circumstances, just still kind of follows that guise of that she's under this mind control. And I think that's what Banks and I are really struggling with, is there is so much vagueness in this verbiage. And so I think that's something that I think is going to be really hard for us to disagree or agree on. But I think, if anything, the only thing that's really shifted my opinion personally and hearing from the judges is the judge's kind of description of imminent.
Talk a little bit more about that, please.
You know, I mean, Banks kind of said something about it, and like we had talked about this outside of deliberations, is just that, you know, was that the moment like that, like literally he said to her like, okay, like I'm quitting the tapestry, bye, and then she was like freaking out, or like, you know, had it happened 7 days before, like had he not even said he was leaving the tapestry, but like was he just walking out, like, you know, unfortunately, like something that was never really, I guess, explained in the trial to me was that really exact moment of when he left the tapestry verbatim.
Could have happened when he was up in Philadelphia, right? When he made
right. So then I guess what my thing is now I'm kind of struggling with, like, I do feel for Lola. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've clearly felt for her this entire case.
We know.
But I kind of feel like now I'm just wondering, like, could she have gone to Philly? Like, is this really something that was necessarily imminent in the sense that, like, was the world going to implode in that second that he left? I mean, I'm all for communication and trying to understand each other. And so, like, could Lola have tried to understand him and communicate a little bit more or reached out to Philly? Like, was that the moment when the danger and the emergency was going to happen? I don't know. And so now I'm...
And I'll read it. Let me just read the last line again to help support what the way you guys are going. Let's just remember... Would have believed that the danger could be avoided only by committing the killing of her husband.
Right. Mm. And so chances are, no. Is that the only way? No.
Right.
It's not the only way.
Right.
She didn't, you know, we don't know if she thought or didn't think it's the only way.
For me,
because we don't know the future. We don't know if that's going to happen. Go ahead, Van.
For me, the defense goes out the window when... She was very reasonable in questioning her husband. She had very clear logic and reasoning when she was questioning her husband's motivations. and my the thing that I have difficulty with is, why didn't she use that same clear logical thinking when she was hearing these outrageous claims by the cult?
Because humans are emotional beings.
Well, they are, but they can't
commit murder.
Harking back to what Van is saying, and one thing that I brought up in the discussions when we were going over the last few days, if you will, there was no testimony from Lola about what the imminent harm that was going to happen in the world if he left. And I wanted to focus on that, and we can't forget that. There was nothing about her saying, and I kept saying over and over again, the world's going to end, the world's going to end. She didn't.
Reminds you of Chicken Little.
Sky is falling. And bad things happen all the time. You can't blame everything on the fact that somebody doesn't...
Unless you're unreasonable.
Unless you're unreasonable, yes. Or it's a convenience. Or it's a way to con people out of their money. And buy more lakefront property for Ty.
Remember, they're not on trial here.
Yeah, that's right. We've been able to focus and really get narrowed down here.
And we've been hearing from Banks and Shane and Francis about, you know, how they're feeling about this. And, you know, let's keep going down this road.
But we have to look at what's in front of us, what we know from the testimony, what evidence we have.
I appreciate what you've said, and the thing for me is that the claims of the cult are so grandiose and so potentially vague that when we were looking at it in terms of from her point of view, I did understand the kind of drip feed influence as to how she then started to believe those messages. But in terms of considering it from a defense point of view, like you said, it just, there wasn't enough detail in court, and it's really throwing me because it's kind of give me a different perspective in the way that, you know, it suddenly becomes a convenience of explanation rather than a belief, because we haven't seen enough detail that influences her actions in that way.
And if you look at Lola's entire life, when in her life did she ever do anything for mankind, for her fellow human being? When did she go and feed the poor or do anything for anybody? All she has done is meditate.
The biggest gesture, I think, was given over her like financial freedom.
$10,000, but we didn't
see where that money went, because ultimately we know it went to him, to Ty.
Yeah, but she admitted it was only $10,000 and she got free room and board.
Let's not try to put Lola's Lola's entire life on trial. It's just her killing of her husband, right, and whether or not she did it in self-defense.
Can we get back to that? Is it reasonable to believe that you have the right to take someone's life because you believe it will save the world?
I think Francis is right in putting in that phrase, and I think the answer is no.
No.
Especially not the world. If you're thinking you're going to save yourself, or if somebody's right next to you and somebody had a gun or something, it's just unreasonable. Yes. It's just an unreasonable period.
It's not imminent and impending.
No. Or if Kyle had the tapestry sitting right in front of him and he had a pair of scissors and he was just going at it very slowly, and then...
I'd like to say my personal feeling about Lola. I feel sorry for her that she got wrapped up in the cult, and like I said, I've done the, you know.
She did it on her own free will, though. She wasn't forced. This is not a prisoner of war here.
I'm expressing my personal feelings for her, and while I express that feeling for her being mixed up in this, I have to abide by the law.
Yeah.
Right. Internally, I can be torn.
We all do.
My emotional feelings want to go for, oh, yeah, she's a little messed up. And you know, these people, they fed her a line and she bought it. And I feel for that. But I can't use that and say I'm going to go against what the law, the specifics of the law say. Under the same circumstances with a reasonably cautious and prudent person, and that's a point I was making earlier in our discussion today, that we uh, we have to look at it that way. Can you reasonably believe that somebody left the cult and the war started in Dakar? No, that
doesn't
hold.
Yeah, it's not. This all comes down to reasonable, and it's pretty clear that Lola was not reasonable.
I just wish she had tried to clarify with him in some other way.
We wish a lot of things.
Of course, not having Kyle around, I'm sure that will mess everyone's lives up.
No offense, as much as I love being in this room with you all, and as much as I miss you, I wish you didn't do it either, because I didn't want to spend the last several weeks in this entire trial.
Mm.
But we have a job to do, and we need to get this across the finish line,
mm-hmm.
and we need to move forward.
So
I'm still holding with the guilty.
What are you thinking, Foreman?
I'm going to ask you all an opinion really quick. I'm going to ask you, do you think we're ready to take a final vote, or do we need to talk some more? I'm going to ask you that right now. I don't want your vote. I'm going to ask you one by one, are we ready to take a vote? Van?
Yes.
Campbell? Yes. Francis?
Yes.
Banks?
I actually really agree with what Vaughn just said, and it's really upsetting, but you've made it really clear. And I think the judge's response has kind of helped me understand how we have to make this verdict. So, yes, I think so.
Shane, are you ready to vote?
I don't know.
Take a couple seconds if you need them. Put your emotions in check. But don't start meditating, because I want to get out of here.
No.
And I don't want to be shot in the back. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It was very inappropriate.
That was very
inappropriate. I'm sorry. When I get nervous about something that's impactful, I use jokes. So I shouldn't have said that.
That's right. Very dark humor.
I mean, there's.
You've done very well, though.
What do you think, Shane?
I do appreciate you, Alex.
Francis, please.
I'm just heartbroken.
I know.
I just care so much about Lola and just about this case and just about where it's gone, and it's hard to just throw a life away. I mean, throw Kyle's life away and throw Lola's life away and just throw her in jail and just throw another life away. And
think about the lives you might be saving.
That's exactly right.
Also,
I know, but I still think about the coal and just their potential to destroy lives, and it's just no matter where I leave here today, it's just my heart is in a very heavy place right now.
Just know that I think even though the cult is not on trial here, they're going to, this trial is public. Their names are out there. They will be tarnished by this.
I really hope so. I hope the scrutiny puts them under a lot of pressure.
I
completely understand. The only person on trial right now is Lola.
So we're sacrificing Lola to save potentially millions of people.
We're not just sacrificing.
Kind of, well, in a sense. Anything.
Francis, just take it easy.
Let's let Shane
take a moment. He hasn't responded as to whether or not he's ready to vote or not. Are you ready to vote, Shane?
Yeah, we can vote.
Okay. I will also vote that we're ready to vote. And I'll go ahead and give my vote first. Guilty.
I say guilty.
I say guilty.
I say guilty.
I say guilty.
She's guilty.
Okay.
I'll alert the bailiff that we've concluded our deliberations.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This was not easy.
This concludes the trial of Lola Adams. I can't thank you enough for staying with me through this story and this season. I hope the conclusion was as fair and satisfying as you hoped it would be, or you expect it would have been in real life. I'm not sure what's going to happen next. We may have a wrap-up jury break, although really the only person I'd want is Jessa. She's sort of like my mental touchstone, so Jessa, if you're listening, I miss you. If anyone has something specific they'd like to hear for closure, email me at deliberationspod@gmail.com. And as for me, I feel badly for Lola. I do. I think we're all susceptible to cultic thinking. And I, like the jurors, believe she was under the influence of mind control. But I also agree that acquitting her would have led to a very slippery slope with other self-defense arguments. But on the other hand, every verdict should be determined on a case-by-case basis, and sending a message shouldn't be the goal of any jury determining a person's fate, so... I wouldn't have written this case if I didn't feel conflicted by it personally. Conflicted by the story and conflicted by the law. I think this damn statute needs to go. Am I right? Ah, Florida. Guys, I love you. Thanks again. Stay subscribed because I'm going to be back, and I will see you next time. Bye.